Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business program. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And as I always say, if you can't listen live, as many of you do listen to the podcast, you can get that podcast by going to www.blogtalkradio.com. And then just punch in Gregory Crawford on Sports Business. You'll get every single show that we have ever done. Love doing this show because we always have tremendous guests on every Tuesday night, and tonight is no exception. Before we go to our guests, I just want to tell you, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can either do it at Craws Sports Business, CrawsSportsBiz, or at WC Hoops, either one or hopefully both. And, of course, you can always go to www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com, where we do the latest in sports business, and then we'll have our power rankings come basketball season, of which the Cascade Collegiate Conference will be in those power rankings. And the guy who runs the Cascade Collegiate Conference, and I have so much respect for, he's a great guest when we have him on, but equally as important, even more important, he does such a fabulous job of running a terrific league, Robert Cashel. Robert, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Greg, how are you? Thanks so much for having us on.
You betcha. Always my pleasure. I love it when you're on. And I'm going to ask you a little different question to start with. Are there a few mornings when you wake up, and I know you probably get you're like every other top executive, you get your day started early, that you kind of pinch yourself and say, wow, I'm the commissioner of a pretty darn good college basketball conference. Not basketball, college conference. Let's see where my mind is always.
Yeah, you know, Greg, I've been so blessed to work really my entire career in athletics. I can't remember too many days where I didn't wake up wherever I was working and felt that way. That just very fortunate to have been able to carve out a career in intercollegiate athletics. And in particular, this job, it's like a dream job for me, and I just love every day working with and for everybody in the Cascade Conference. So you're right. It's a great opportunity for me, and I'm one of those lucky ones who doesn't really feel like they go to work every day.
You're obviously a very popular figure because we have a huge audience tonight, and when I say huge, I mean it. That's legitimate. A lot of listeners listening all over the Northwest and beyond, but give us the dynamics of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, if you don't mind. And one thing, if you'll put in there, I know it's variable, but how many actually student-athletes participate in sport?
Sure. Well, as you know, Greg, we've kind of changed our makeup the last couple of years. We had a longtime member leave Concordia University, but we, on the heels of that, we added two new full-time members, and then we added four associate members. And our conference, and I got to give the credit to our Council of Presidents, they were forward-thinking and put some legislation forward to the NAIA that opened up this whole concept about associate membership. So we added Multnomah University and Walla Walla University as full-time members, and last year was their first year competing. And then we added Carroll College out of Montana, Rocky Mountain College out of Montana, and University of Great Falls in as associate members in men's and women's soccer. And then Carroll and Great Falls also compete in softball. And then we extended across the border into Canada and added British Columbia as an associate member in baseball and softball. So we're really growing in some regards and trying to continue our establishment in the Northwest as what we think is the best small college athletic conference.
I think you're right on there, and I watch conferences pretty closely. It's a great conference. How many participants approximately of men and women participate in athletics in the conference?
You know, and you're right, that's a little bit of a moving target, but we estimate anywhere between 2,500 and 3,000 student athletes that we're serving on a daily basis. It's a big number, and you know, these are great young men and women, and I'm fortunate to get to know some of them. Certainly not as well as I did when I was on a campus as an athletic director, but when you do have an opportunity to be around these young people, it's just incredible. They're doing so much academically and athletically, and in service projects in their communities, I've always said this, and I do believe it. I think the NAIA is the last true amateur athletics association, and they just do a great job in everything that they do. And I think our student athletes in particular kind of have the right idea about where athletics fits in their development.
I make no bones about basketball and golf being my favorite sports. It's going to be a little bit different, Robert, down there in Klamath Falls this year with no Danny Miles, and his biggest cheerleader is gone, Dr. Chris Maples as the president.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of changes there. It is going to be very strange not having Coach Miles on the sidelines and involved in the conference. 45 years as the coach down there. I'm not sure if you saw this, but again, credit to our council of presidents, but we've renamed our tournament trophy the Danny Miles Tournament Trophy, and really just to recognize his contributions not only to our conference but to basketball in general. And then with Chris Maples, just an amazing guy. He was our council of presidents chair, and if you knew Chris Maples or if you followed OIT, you knew that Chris was going to be at almost every athletic event. I used to tease him that I didn't think the guy slept. I'm not sure how he got from place to place, but he was an unbelievable supporter of not only OIT athletics, but Cascade and the NAIA as well, and certainly will be missed. And I talked to Danny a little bit, and I said, gosh, I'd love it if you presented the first Danny Miles Tournament Trophy this year. And he kind of smiled at me. He said, well, it depends on where it is. So we'll see if we can get Danny out to the game. But, going to be very different down there, and certainly in the NAIA, three national championships, just an unbelievable person. And I think you've talked to him before on your show and profiled Danny. And as good of a coach as he is, he's a better human being, and it's just been a pleasure for me to work with him.
And you're right, and no doubt about it, he's a friend of mine, not a close friend, but a friend of mine, and there's no doubt in my mind that very soon he'll be in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, where he probably deserved to be in there 10 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he deserves to be there, and you're right. Probably it's long overdue, and I'm sure hoping that he gets there and certainly belongs there. I think not only the wins, but just what he exemplifies, and staying somewhere for 45 years and building what he built, it's just almost unheard of anymore. So we're all fortunate to have been witness to it.
I don't have to butter you up because I have no agenda here, but I always talk glowingly of you. I always think that one of your biggest challenges, you've got quite a diverse group of schools. It's great. The footprint is great, but you've got state schools, and I'm not saying they can't be Christian. It's state schools, then you've got Christian schools. You have private schools. It's an interesting dynamic that the league is built around.
It is. It is very, very diverse, like you said, between state schools and faith-based schools. And I think what makes it work really is the men and women that lead these athletic departments and lead these teams, because we are faced with challenges all the time. But, you know, these folks that I get to work with day in and day out, at the core of it is they want to do what's right. And when you have that as the core of what you're doing and you head into decision-making and facing issues, and when you're doing that with the ultimate goal of let's do what's right, then it makes my job pretty easy, to be honest with you. And very, very happy and pleased with the folks I get to work with, the ADs and the coaches at all of our institutions. They genuinely care about each other. And you know, what I always try to talk about is, hey, let's make decisions that's in the best interest of the student athlete. When you go into things with that mindset, really the decisions aren't too tough to make.
Robert, it seems to have worked out pretty well, adding, as you mentioned, your associates in Multnomah and Walla Walla. Of course, for people that know me or listen to these programs, know I'm very proud to work in the cancer unit at Adventist Medical Center. But I'm not Adventist, but I understand the religious aspect of that, and that's had to be worked into your scheduling, but it seems to have worked adding Walla Walla. I gotta make you laugh a little bit here, though. I walk out the other day and I go across the street, as you know, and I keep thinking, well, Walla Walla's going to be playing over here because Portland Adventist Academy is Adventist College, but Warner Pacific turned that into a great place to play soccer.
Yeah, they sure did, you know, that's kind of a great example of a community partnership. And Warner Pacific, which is not an Adventist, they are faith-based but not Adventist, and they've worked out a great arrangement there at the school there, and they play their soccer matches there. For people who are familiar with the Warner Pacific campus, is, you know, they're kind of landlocked, so there's not a lot of areas to grow their campus. So they really need to develop community partnerships. And you know, interestingly enough, I was talking with their president, Dr. Andrea Cook, who is now our new Council of Presidents chair, the other day. And they have a program that they brought on their campus this year called the Champions Academy. And anything you know about Warner Pac, you know, their goal or their mission is to work in the city and work with underprivileged and low income and maybe first generation folks going to college, and they're really walking that talk. And this Champions Academy, they brought 160 low income and kids from maybe households that have never been to college, and they're introducing them to academic efforts throughout the summer, athletic competition, and really keeping them engaged. And then throughout the year, they'll have mentors with these young men and women. And just to be able to do that and get these young men and women accustomed to a college campus and putting in their mind that, hey, you can do this and we're here to help you, is incredible. But, you know, those are some examples of things that Warner Pac is doing in their community. And really, like I said, walking the walk. I think one of their taglines is in the city for the city, and they certainly are doing that.
Yes, and just a little side note there that I think you probably already knew, but our hospital, our highest award we give to someone outside the hospital is Heroes of the Heart. And of course, 2 years ago, Andrea Cook won that award at our gala, and it was very exciting. She's a tremendous person and very supportive of athletics, supportive of the community and academics, as it should be. You know, talk a little bit about, Robert, about the fall sports. You're up and going. There was a soccer match the other day I saw with Warner exhibition, but there's not much rest in collegiate athletics ever, and fall sports will just roll right through to winter. But fall sports are an exciting time because of the different weather changes. Two out of of them are definitely outside, and maybe more, and it's kind of a great time of year to get the school year started.
Well, it really is, and it kind of re-energizes you, you know, not only when you're on a campus and all the students start coming back, but you're right, we have men's and women's soccer is ramping up, men's and women's cross-country, volleyball, golf has a fall season that's part of the Cascade. We play several of our county conference matches in the fall. Softball will have some fall ball. They're not conference competition, but softball gets going. And then right on the heels of that, as you know, basketball, they'll start practicing. So, yeah, it's an exciting time. We've got, I think this weekend, 7 of our 11 volleyball teams are in action. Several of them are down at the Biola Summer Bash against a lot of top 10 teams. The rankings came out today for volleyball and men's and women's soccer, and we're well represented in all of those polls, and so we're excited at the conference office because it's time to get it rolling again, and all the planning and everything you're doing, now you get to put it all to work and see it work on behalf of these student athletes.
I think listeners and myself included, I'm a listener, I always enjoy hearing from successful people about how they manage their time. You're highly successful. It's a great conference. Do you get barked at a little bit that you're not out on the road a little bit more coming to our school? How's that work for you? And it takes a lot of planning, obviously, because I think people forget, oh, yeah, he's got a great job. He can go and watch sports. Well, yeah, he can, but he's got a lot of administrative duties.
Yeah, you really do have a lot of administrative duties, and I feel like any success I have in time management is I feel like I'm pretty organized. I don't mind putting in the long hours or anything like that are necessary to get the job done. And bottom line is I enjoy the type of work that I do. So I think that helps you be successful in managing all your time if you enjoy what you're doing, and I certainly do enjoy that. The footprint is a challenge to get around to the campuses, and I try my best to get every campus. When we were a smaller footprint, it was a little bit easier to try to get to everybody every year. But we've kind of scaled that back a little bit, and I try to make sure I get to every campus every 2 years at least. And some campuses I'm on their campus several times based on, what our postseason might look like or things of that nature. A lot of our postseason is hosted at the campus site. So a particular school that might be hosting deep into postseason, I might be on that campus two or three times in a particular year. But I'll be out on the road here pretty quick, making a trip over to Rocky Mountain College at the end of next week. They have a soccer doubleheader, then heading back to Kansas City for some meetings. We've got our upcoming Council of Athletic Directors meeting and Student Athletic Council meeting. So, yeah, it's ramping up, and you get a lot of windshield time.
Yes, you do. Let me ask you, and I'm sure if it's not proprietary information, if you could share it. I know you probably have it and more, but if you had to list your top three priorities that aren't there now that you'd like to see happen in the future, what might those be? And if you could share them, that'd be great.
Sure. I think some of the things, it's interesting that you brought that up because when I took the job in 2012, one of the first things we did was I asked the Council of Presidents to sit down and work with me on a strategic plan, and we did that. So we developed a strategic plan 2013 to 2018, and now as we're approaching that 2018 mark, we're going to take a look at that plan and go through there and let's take a look and what did we accomplish, what maybe needs to continue forward, what did we find that maybe didn't need to be in that strategic plan, and bring that back and have some people look at it, including our ADs and our presidents, and really move forward on what will the next 5 to 7 years look like. To get a little more detailed, I think one of the things that I want to look at in our conference is how do we grow from within? And what I mean by that is, are there sports in our conference that that need to grow? And if there are, how do we do that from within without maybe looking at new institutions that come in, but maybe programs or maybe schools that might be looking at adding programs? It seems as if the pendulum is swinging once again to where athletics are being highly valued and used on campuses as enrollment drivers. Not that that hasn't always been the case, but I think from time to time maybe the emphasis on that changes. And again, that pendulum is swinging again. Some of it's based on funding models. Some of it's based on looking at enrollment. Some of it's based on retention. But I want to look at, what is the next 5 years going to look like in terms of, should we be looking at sports like lacrosse? We have two or three of our schools in our conference that sponsor it at the club level. Where is wrestling now? We have three schools in our conference that have men's and women's wrestling, Warner Pack, Eastern Oregon, and Southern Oregon. A couple of schools in our region that aren't necessarily members of our conference, but their conference doesn't have it either. So where are we at in terms of growth from within with sport offerings? I think some other things that you need to look at as in terms of priorities is always trying to maintain your affiliation or your membership, and that's really having good strong conversations with presidents and ADs about, hey, what's going well, what's not going well for you, and how can we improve on those things. So I would say those two, Greg, are probably those three are probably the highest priorities. It's looking at our strategic plan, how can we grow particular sports from within, and then ensuring that our membership is strong and continues to be stable.
Robert, address a little bit, and excellent there, information, terrific, the way you couched all that. I really enjoyed listening to that, as I have the whole night. But address a little bit, I do a lot of shows. I do one with the Portland Pilots with Jason Bro, their associate athletic director, and we were talking last night on that show about one of the real challenges is time for all the sports to get practice time in, and they have tremendous facilities. I imagine that's a real challenge throughout the Cascade Collegiate Conference, and it's especially important because the explosion of women's athletics, which I think is terrific, and it's just the way it should be. I've always been around strong women, including my mother, and they are going great guns in athletics, but some of the challenges there is just getting practice time.
Well, you're right, and from my previous time as an athletic director, that was always a challenge. Facilities are so important, and the time in those facilities, and usually at campuses like ours, those facilities are also multi-use facilities, so it might have classes in there, you might have intramurals, other recreational type activities. You might be renting out your facilities for off-campus stuff. So, yeah, that's definitely a balance. And it's not uncommon for our teams to be, practicing 5 in the morning, noon, late at night. And then you throw on top of it things when you are doing facility renovations. Southern Oregon, as an example, renovating their facility. This will be year number 2 where they're actually playing all their contests and practicing at Ashland High School as their new facility gets remodeled. And then the other part of that, Greg, is as you're looking at adding sport programs for enrollment purposes or for growth on your college campus, is really I think it's important to look at the entire aspect of where will they practice, where will their locker room be. Where do we have the room for them to fit into the training room, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a challenge, and There's a lot that ADs and facility folks and coaches need to deal with in that regard.
Robert, we got about 2 minutes left. You've been fabulous tonight, but I always like to do this with guests. How about a two-minute commercial about the Cascade Collegiate Conference? Or you can do it in 30 seconds or 59 like I do my sports business things or whatever you want, but it's your floor.
Well, thank you, Greg. And I would just say probably like a lot of activities out there where you're trying to draw in fans and draw in support, you know, with so much out there, whether it's online or pro sports or Division One or whatever, I just encourage people, if you have an NAIA institution in your community, in particular Cascade Conference, give it a chance. Go to a game if you've never been. Take your family. It is quality athletics. It's the great young men and women that are just getting the job done on the courts and on the fields and in the classroom, more importantly. And it could be, you know, I've taken my family to a Blazers game, and I love going, but, I can only afford maybe one or two a year tops. You could go to a whole season, every sport at a Cascade Conference school and just have a wonderful time and get to know some great people and see some great athletic action.
I totally agree with you. And, of course, I'm fortunate that the two closest ones are Warner Pacific and Multnomah, and for basketball, at least for me, they're pretty awesome. And I love watching the soccer over at Portland Adventist. It's quite something. Robert, we do have a little bit of time left, about 90 seconds. You ever talk a little bit about the stream? TV is so big and internet is so big now and streaming and everything. You got any plans along those lines of advance of what you're doing right now?
Yeah, we looked into possibly producing some television on Root Sports, and it was kind of cost prohibitive. But what we've tried to do right now is we call it CCC Web TV. And, all of our schools are streaming all of their activities. They are charging, but it's a real small amount. We've looked into some of the stuff, a weekly show but probably I would say some of the prohibitors of that is it takes so long to get the content done and then produced by then, and the cost of it, by then it's old news because everybody's getting it so much quicker on Twitter and Facebook. And so we are looking at some things on what can we do in social media that will get our information out there, that'll highlight what we're doing. And it's definitely a challenge because there's a lot of competition out there, and some of the stuff which we think we'd like to do in terms of television and those types of things just right now are cost prohibitive.
Absolutely. It's not cost prohibitive to go and attend, as Robert so eloquently stated, a Cascade Collegiate Conference athletic contest of any type. And I have taken people who have never gone before to basketball, and I will guarantee you they go back often, and they're going to go even more this year. And it's always great. Keep up the great work, Robert Cashel. You're a treasure in the sports area, and it's always fun to talk to you. And we'll have you on again just before the start of basketball.
Well, we sure appreciate the support and love to come on and talk hoops with you here in a couple months.
Very good. Have a great evening and best in this school year, Robert Cashel. He is the commissioner of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, the footprints in Idaho, Oregon, Washington. They have some affiliates out of those states, which is great. It's a great conference, and you'll love it, and it's part of the NAIA, which also is tremendous. I'm a product of the NAIA because when Linfield was, I was going there, when Teddy Roosevelt was president, by the way, and we were part of the NAIA. But anyway, great to have you as listeners tonight. Thanks to Robert Cashel for joining us, and keep listening. I enjoy the positive comments, and I enjoy the constructive criticism that you give me every week, everybody. Good night, everyone, and don't forget to make your free throws.